everyone, and welcome to another episode of Divination. Divination is a podcast and video show by Elegant Themes, the creators of Divi, the ultimate WordPress theme and visual page builder. The goal of Divination is really simple. We want to provide you with the knowledge, insights, and supportive community that you need to be successful with WordPress and Divi. I'm your host, Nathan B. Weller, and as your host, it's my job to facilitate that success by having various guests from the Divi and wider WordPress community onto the show to share their stories and experiences with you. Today, I'm interviewing Jill Sessa, Sorry, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. She runs Ultimate WP Help, which is a WordPress maintenance and support business. Jill is a digital nomad who runs Ultimate WP Help and manages her remote workforce from her RV, making it really easy to take kayaking breaks throughout the day. In this episode, we're going to hear her WordPress and Divi story, as well as discuss the many merits of her mantra, focusing on your genius. Here's our conversation. Jill, welcome to Divi Nation.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And for those who weren't on Facebook this morning, and this is, by the way, this is Tuesday morning.
An hour ago.
Yeah. I tried an experiment this week. I had a recording session that got canceled, and I'm not going to be here the rest of the week. So I thought, I'll just see if anybody in one of our biggest Facebook groups, the Divi Theme Users Group, happens to be available for a podcast. And Jill was kind enough to answer. So I just put a message out there. Who wants to be on Divi Nation today? And we found someone available. And it's Jill. And it actually turns out that you were nominated. I looked at our Facebook Messenger history. And
Right. You
were actually nominated not too long ago by the Divi community to be on the show. And it just so happened that we reconnected in this really random way. So
love it.
How about that? That's pretty cool.
This is my life. I love it.
Yeah, actually, we should talk about that. You seem to have a very kind of carefree, go with the flow attitude. You are a work from the RV, digital nomad. Can you tell us a bit about what it's like to have a day in the life of a digital nomad working with WordPress and Divi? What do you do on a typical day?
Sure. So hashtag digital nomad, that is kind of our community. And nice. I identify more with that than I do actually the RV community because of my history. I've been on the road doing this, like having no set apartment for over 4 years, but I've been traveling for about eight years.
Nice.
So before that, I was doing a lot of back and forth. I actually owned a house and an apartment, but so I basically decided I wanted a roof over my head because I was traveling by bus and bike. And part of it was just needing the consistency around work.
Sure.
So that I always had a guaranteed place that I was going to kind of set everything up. And even if the view out the window looks different, and it's basically my life is kind of random. And my clients, though, still need to get service. So a day in my life, I think that's what the question was. A day in my life starts with copious amounts of this. My other...
Yes. I'm on the same page with you.
Other email address is yes@irunon.coffee. So
nice.
But basically, I have a rather random choice of where I am on any given day. My RV is very tiny, and so I'm very mobile, and I actually don't stay in campgrounds very often. So
where do you stay? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, it's called boondocking, and sometimes it's urban boondocking. I have a roof of solar panels and a lot of extra batteries.
Oh, nice.
And I'm conservative about water, so I don't need to go to a campground for their services.
Right. So you can just go anywhere. And what kind of is it always legal, or do you just go wherever you can park?
I try to stay legal just because I don't need that hassle. And there are so many places that you can stay legally for free that I just, the knock on the window, it's happened. It's happened, but unknowingly. I was just, a quick funny story. I was in Encinitas, California, which is just a totally rad surf town. And there it's just gorgeous. And there were all these RVs that we would park on the streets all night. And then every morning, everybody would move over to Moonlight Beach, like at 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Oh, cool.
And July 1st, I got a knock on the window at 10 minutes to 10 at night. And I'm in bed. And it was that it was time to move on. They don't allow parking in July and August. So they were very polite about it and gave me 10 minutes notice, but I hadn't planned on moving in the middle of the night. But oh, wow. That's kind of my life, is that sometimes the choices are maybe not what the community around me wants. So, but basically, I travel based on weather. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's speaking engagements. I actually was in the Austin. I'm in the Austin area right now.
Oh, cool.
And it was because I had a speaking engagement in Fredericksburg in February. Mm. And I have a mechanic here. So when you travel like this, it's sometimes you just need to find those services and have people that you can count on.
Very cool.
So today I woke up in next to the river in Austin. I had kayaked last night to finish off my day, and there's a Planet Fitness a mile down the road, and I'm a member, and so they let me park overnight. So not many people can park in downtown Austin for free, but I do.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I didn't know that was a possibility. So you probably have all these little hacks and tricks on where you can park and how. Yeah. So I imagine that all of this is made possible by your work, work, the remote work that you do with WordPress. Can you tell us first about how you got into WordPress to begin with? And then maybe we can get into what going professional in WordPress and Divi looked like.
Sure. So this is a surprise for people that don't know me for a long time. Oh, okay. I was a fitness instructor, a Pilates instructor, and competed at the national and world level in fitness.
Oh, wow.
So what the heck am I doing building and maintaining websites now? it was a series of events. I had gotten ill and realized I couldn't do something that physical for a long time and had taken a job, and I'm kind of terminally unemployable. So that job didn't work out that great. And we decided to part ways, and I took my severance and decided I wanted something that was mobile. Mm-hmm. I was living in New York City at the time in a very expensive apartment and needed to pay for it. They had been paying for it, so I needed to fund it.
Wow.
And I basically realized I wanted to learn how to work on websites. And the same part of my brain that was able to function in Pilates and fitness and be able to figure out somebody's anomalies and structure of their body and the changes that needed to be made feels like the same part of my brain that allows me to code. And I'm pretty much a front-end developer. So, it is user experience,
sure,
how everything lines up,
however.
So I just feel like my brain just naturally transitioned over to it. So I just, randomly built a WordPress website. At that point, I didn't know what the differences were and why WordPress. It just seemed like a good idea. Mm-hmm. And one of my best friends had a book coming out. And so she was asking, what would you suggest for a website? I'm like, I'll build it for you. So that was just, it's nice to have your friends let you experiment.
Yeah.
And I took a course on HTML and CSS at a Brooklyn kind of makers collective.
Oh, right.
And didn't understand a darn thing the guy said. And I realized that the way I learn is by taking things apart. So Inspect Element became my best friend.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I don't know what you would do without it.
I don't know. I don't know what I would do either.
It's definitely has made everything possible. So basically, WordPress was not technically a conscious choice, but I think in that course in Brooklyn, that's what the guy was using. So it was like, oh, okay, I'll try this. And it makes sense to me because it's organized. It's got, sort of a structure around it. And,
absolutely.
And so then it was just like, oh, hey, dad's starting a consulting business. Let me build his website. Or, oh, hey, that, an organization that I was volunteering for needed a website to do a fundraiser. And we just talked about your awesome Give WP mug.
Yeah, absolutely. Got this at WordCamp San Diego. These guys are great. So a lot of people get into WordPress the same way, and a lot of people become web designers in the same way. Friend needs a website, family needs a website, organization that they're a part of needs a website. When did that turn into your job? Like, what was the transition of I'm doing this as a learning endeavor to I'm doing this because I think I can make a go at this as a career?
Sure. So there was actually a hiatus from WordPress in about 7 years ago now. And I living in this expensive apartment building in Brooklyn, we had a Starbucks machine in our lobby, free, but it came with our very expensive rent.
Sure.
And so around 3 o'clock, everybody who worked from home would end up like kind of lining up in front of the coffee maker, you know? And so we started chatting, and that's where I met my business partner, who became my business partner. And he's like a full stack developer. This is a guy that speaks in Python. So we had been, you know, we also had one of the most awesome bars next to us that made great craft cocktails. So our evening chat sometimes would end up over there, and we just had been spilling out these ideas. I had gotten into doing social media management at this time. And so we came up with what was then Sidekick HQ, or Sidekick, which was a social media dashboard. And it was awesome. Yeah, we did well with it. It was just time to let it go eventually. But that kind of level of programming, it was, even though it was a detour, was important for me to understand backend systems, databases and stuff. And for him, it's, I seriously think he was born speaking these languages. So spending time around him and spending time in that kind of environment, I loved it. It was, you know, we made an income from it. And then I decided to start traveling. So this was just 4 years ago that we decided to sell that. We had a second business, a second app, and he's still running that. And basically, I needed to travel. I have that wanderlust at heart. And I was actually on the road, and we were still collecting kind of our last paychecks. At one point, we had four Forbes 200 companies in our roster, which is amazing, but they don't pay on time. So big they don't have to be nice about things. Yeah, I received the last paycheck 19 months after we did the job. So, you know, it was just like this kind of tumultuous time for us. And I was out on the road. I decided to travel. And I rode a bicycle up and down the East Coast. Then I took off on a Vespa and rode across country. And during that time, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who does a lot of coaching consultations. And I said, you know, I built a couple of these websites, what was then 3 years previous. And one of the clients I was doing social media management for said, our website that you built, you know, that 4 years ago, whatever it was, is white. Is there anything we can do? I'm like, but that's kind of what you wanted, a minimalist look. They're like, no, it's white. So, of course, WordPress hadn't been updated. You know, changes have been made. I don't even remember if they got hacked or whatever, but it just hit me like a light bulb because I had the conversation with the coach and it was an hour later that they called. And
so they were getting like an error, like it was just the white screen of death.
Yes, the white screen of death.
Gotcha.
It was not their color scheme. It's what I thought. I thought, oh, maybe they want to make some design changes. No, they actually, they're, and it was, you know, just really a hosting issue. The site was back up momentarily, but.
But that got you thinking maintenance is a business opportunity.
Yeah, that a lot of people, whether like me, kind of build websites for friends or small clients, or just in general, or developers, they hand off the website and then what next?
Yeah, absolutely.
I realized this was the business opportunity. This was the area that I wanted to pursue. And
so that launched Ultimate WP Help, or was there?
I had a stable of clients from Sidekick.
Sure.
So I just told them, hey, I'm going to be doing this website. And I think I had my first 15 clients within 3 days.
Oh, fantastic. That's a great way to start.
You know, and it's like proof of concept done, you know. But so it that made it really easy. And I still see that. It, even 4 years ago, that was a little bit more of a novel approach. There weren't as many companies that were. Now that's certainly a space.
Now it's kind of part and parcel for like if you have a web design business, a great way to keep your client. You know, like people talk about that all the time on the podcast here. Do you find yourself still taking web design clients, or do you do just the maintenance and upkeep now?
Yeah, it's interesting because I didn't intend to take on web design clients.
Okay, so it's always just kind of a it just happened.
Yeah,
type of thing.
And so either people came to me with a site that was just completely not viable, or they came to me as a WordPress person and their website wasn't even on WordPress. I've had that happen more times than you could imagine because they just don't know because their previous developer didn't tell them.
Yeah, yeah.
And I am not a designer. So it's either, and we can talk a little bit about this, but my staff, that they have graphic design capabilities, or I get source files and we can work on design that way. But I'm not actually a designer. I'm an implementer.
Sure.
So it's allowed me to do smaller scale sites. You know, I can push out a site at about, you know, $950 to $1,200 for the average site build. Can do it quickly. It's my client's comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So at one point, that was growing up to be over 60% of our business. And I realized that's not something, it's not my genius.
Yeah, yeah.
And our task for the business is, you focus on your genius, let us focus on ours.
Nice.
So, So I scaled that back a little bit. We do more maintenance. Now we're up over 250 clients.
Oh, wow.
So some of those we've built their site or maybe are fixing, or mm-hmm. one of our, I think my genius is actually in theme changes. So that's where Divi comes into play.
Great. I was just getting ready to ask, what's the intersection here with the Divi community, since that's where we met?
Yeah. So I was building websites using elegant themes. Mm-hmm. So like just last week, actually, I changed a site I did 4 years ago from The Corporation. Remember
sure.
that theme?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was a very well-built theme then. Now it looks so dated and yep. it's not that long ago. And so because my clients tend to be small businesses, or I have a lot of people who are coaches or intuitives, maybe in the wellness space, mm-hmm. they do a lot of content production. They like to be involved in your site. They're rarely static, you know, kind of resume or business sure. card type sites. So when Divi came out, I gasped. I mean, I think that reaction was like a lot of people. I realized that this was going to be the theme that I could easily make sites, but also my clients could learn.
Right, right.
I do a lot of screencast tutorials. So the visual, and I don't mean by visual builder, but let's sure. talk about the backend builder when it first came out, but the visual nature of it for people that have that sense in them, you know, that are visual by nature, and I can do a screencast tutorial for them. It's like, I had one person say, it's like magic watching you. And then I realized I can make the magic happen as well. And
yeah,
I thought that
was
so cool.
That is awesome.
You know, having the elegant themes, I had early on bought the lifetime license. I'm glad that they have lots and lots of people coming in, because I almost feel guilty about how little I paid for that initial license. But, you know, I had a lifetime license, developer license, so I can put it on any site. And it was just an easy transition to make to go kind of, we didn't go all out on Divi. I'm not going to say 100% of the sites sure. that we work on with Divi, but any site that I build is.
Yeah.
And because of that, for the maintenance clients, if somebody had a Divi site, somebody else saw it. I am in a lot of kind of communities of people that give references and referrals to one another. So once they realized that there was somebody who not only understood Divi, but could translate it for them.
Sure, sure.
Be able to demonstrate it. That was very important. And so that's how a lot of our business grew. And about 75% of our sites are Divi sites. And then there's the smattering of Genesis and, you know, other theme houses throughout that. But anytime I do a theme transition or change, I think I've only done two that were not Divi in all this time, because people just realize the ease of it.
Yeah, I could imagine. I mean, as a maintenance service, you know, the more themes that you have to get familiar with, the more time it takes to do any given support issue. So have you found that it's like, I would imagine, particularly helpful to have the majority of your clients on one theme?
Yes, absolutely. And sometimes when I get a site that, because we will work on any theme, you can always figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I get a site that's on a theme that just isn't as seamlessly built, I actually have to step away, kind of shake my body and brain out a little bit and be able to get myself into a mode. Like yesterday, I worked on a site that it took me 3 hours to do what would have taken me 15 in Divi. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad.
I had someone, when I was at WordCamp San Diego the other weekend, I had someone come up to me and we were talking about, I think, building like a landing page in Divi. And they said that They work at an agency where you know, they use Divi for all their new clients, but they had an older client that they had to go back and redo it, and they didn't want to switch themes. And he was like, building a multi-column landing page with different elements not in Divi is the worst now. I hate
yeah,
it when
painful
I have to.
And unnecessary.
Yeah. He's like, I have to use all these, like, you know, short code column things because the theme doesn't support, you know, all the different column breaks they want. And I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't sound fun. Not at all.
I've actually, in a couple of cases, the theme was so bad and it was just causing me, you know, if I'm spending 3 hours on something that should take 15, it's not good for my budget. It's not good for their budget. So in a couple of cases, I've actually said, you know what? I'm doing this theme transition for you gratis. It will make both of our lives easier in the long run. And yeah, those clients end up being multi-$1,000 clients in the long run because they're so happy that they end up paying for what we call personal help time and their hours, you know, to use for us in the long
term. So when you do that, are you able, is your goal usually to just like copy their existing design, but just recreate it in Divi? Is it? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, that's one of the, that's actually, we talked about that in one of our last episodes with our new content team member, Jason. He, the topic was learning Divi deeply. And one of the best ways to do that was just to take an existing design and recreate it in Divi because it is really that flexible, especially if you know a little bit of code, you can really make things stretch and do things that you wouldn't think was possible otherwise.
I have to say that I've probably done more in Divi with CSS than a lot of the various sort of elements and plugins people have built because that was and still is my comfort zone.
Sure, yeah.
And the again, we come to inspect element. You know, when you can pull apart any other site pretty easily, there's really nothing that Divi can't replicate. I've found a rare instance, you know, every now and then that they had something that was like really different.
Sure.
Or, I'm going to say 18 months ago, X Themes Cornerstone typing effect, you know, and then it was like, okay, so Michelle Noonan had come up with the style for it. But now there's a plugin for it. Yep. This makes me very happy. So I was, instead of dealing with CSS with that, you know, it's like, okay, invest in the plugin.
Yeah. But and that's one of the cool things about the community too, is that because there's so many people who are just crazy passionate about Divi to start with, we've gotten enough people who are really talented developers and designers in the community and who are dedicated to learning and growing the, you know, teaching and growing in the community as well. When something like that comes up, there's a product or a fix or a tutorial out to fill that gap almost overnight, it seems.
Sometimes within moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I've been in some of the threads on Facebook and it's like, oh, hey, that's a good idea. And like the developer comes back an hour later like, hey, anybody want to beta this?
Yep.
What?
Yeah, I see that happen all the time. I love it.
I think it's amazing. And like my Google Docs, you know, everybody's got their own system for their snippets and stuff. And so I had started one Google Doc and I realized I need a Google folder. Mm. But, you know, it's just basically table of contents and all these great snippets or Facebook thread link or, you know, or something like that, that I may not even use it. But sometimes it's just to bow and worship at the the genius of somebody who came up with it.
Yeah,
and
no kidding.
There's always, again, a site that I'm trying to recreate that it's, you know, the search feature in Facebook groups is the savior in all of that. Because, if I have a bad habit of picking up my phone in the morning and before I'm out of bed and I spend an hour reading and
that
look like Facebooking, but what I am is I'm Facebook grouping, you know, and one of the groups is very time zone diverse. So there are people that,
Divi theme users, which is like, you know, you got people in every time zone in the planet.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, anytime you go on, you're going to see somebody who is right then, you know, in their work zone.
Yep.
So there's, you know, and I just want to put it into my brain that somebody came up with that solution. Mm. And I just read through it because since we do maintain or interface with so many different sites, we manage 250 client sites, but we've built over or touched over 1,000 sites at this point.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it's like there, there's going to be a scenario that comes up in one of those groups that I'll need to implement on a site at some point. And it's just, I use the word gobsmacked. I found out recently that not everybody knows what that word means.
I love that word.
But I'm gobsmacked. I love that word. I'm gobsmacked at what has built around the theme. It feels very generous.
Yeah.
The community is very generous. It doesn't feel like people are trying to keep information mm-hmm. to themselves.
Sure. You do see that in some places, the kind of hoarding of it's just like the heart of a lot of information product businesses is like the clickbaity title and the big promise. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, yeah, but if you want anything useful whatsoever, buy this for $200, whatever. It's like the polar opposite in the Facebook groups, especially, but just even on our blog and other places, you know, we try to give as much away for free because the value is in empowering people, in our opinion. The more people who feel empowered to just get something and run with it, the more people they'll recruit and they'll become your marketing. They'll bring more people in, just like what you're doing. You know, you're like, I will migrate you to Divi for free just so I can work on it and do my work better for you. You know, I think that's cool.
Well, and there's, if you come from, we can get a little woo here. I'm that tech that's a little woo, is if you come from that abundance mentality, there is no limit to the amount of business that any one of us can have if only we want it. Mm. And I really feel that all the time when I interact with Divi people.
Yeah,
that,
I can see that.
You know, because I do focus on maintenance and I've let some developers know that I want to get away from site building and get more back into more maintenance. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of relationships with developers where we'll do the maintenance on their sites over the long term, or I'll have a project that I'm like, you know what, I don't
That's
even want to
point.
Tackle that.
There's always going to be folks in the community who don't want to do the maintenance package for their web design or development business. So having some folks who are dedicated like you are to the support aspect is probably a great business opportunity for others in the community, because there's no shortage, as I'm sure you are aware. There's no shortage of websites out there. There's enough room for everybody in the space. One thing I want to touch on is maybe even close out the episode with is I saw you said it and I saw it on your website, and I just want to, maybe sounds like sort of a mantra that you have, is focus on your genius. Can we maybe talk about that? Because it seems the impression I'm getting is that's very much like at the heart of what you do.
And, it is their tagline.
And so like maybe you could talk about that concept, and that could be kind of our parting thought for the episode, since we've gotten to know you and heard your story. Let's give people a takeaway. It sounds like something you probably have a lot to say about.
Yeah, fantastic. So you focus on your genius. Let us focus on ours. What I mean by that is do the business of your business. Figure out what brings in your relationships with your clients. Whatever your business is, what allows you to sell more widgets? What are you great at? And then also figure out the stuff that you're banging your head against your computer screen, or you're frustrated, or you're spending time on that isn't revenue producing or isn't relationship building. And figure out, do I need to get support for that? Do I need to get training for that? Is this a good use of my time?
Yeah.
So when people start to work with us, they're oftentimes trying to do everything on their website, trying to do everything with their marketing, and trying to figure out, say, because we also do anything that touches a website. So here's a scenario. Somebody's trying to figure out how to make their MailChimp connect to their Divi site and deliver the lead magnet. So I tell them, spend your time coming up with the creative content. Forget about how it's going to happen. I promise you, I can make it happen. And oftentimes they've spent 2 or 3 hours trying to figure out the technical. And I've seen it 1,000 times already.
Right.
So, I can implement it in 5 minutes. And if they're curious or interested in learning, we do that by screen share. So then they're seeing it happen. We record it. So if they want to do it again, they've got the recording to reference. So when we start to build a support network around us, we then get to multiply our own efforts. So I've already mentioned, I'm not a graphic designer. You know, I think some web designers have their graphic design, I just stare at, you know, I mean, it's nothing I could ever create. That's their genius. Yeah, so why wouldn't I hire somebody myself who is a great graphic designer if, you know, we need to put in some great graphic elements?
Yeah.
So I also expand that in the sense that I have a staff that's actually spread around the world and fills all sorts of niches in our business. I try to be able to do about 70 to 80% of any task, capable of it. But that doesn't mean I have to do it.
Yeah.
I need to be able to interface with the client. So by building, I've actually built my whole team based around kind of an outsourcing model that I triage the projects. So I interface with the client. I'm the only voice that they'll ever talk to. They might get emails and stuff from my staff. But just really focusing, obviously, I've got the gift of gab, right? I can chat with anyone. So building the relationships, that's where my genius is. But I also have a very technical mind. So I realized that putting those things together was where I could multiply my revenue stream, multiply my relationships. And by doing that, my clients actually, just yesterday had this happen, somebody did an intro call and she's like, you know, I go on your website and I know you already and I'm comfortable with you and I like where you're going. So when somebody can sense that and we think that we're going to be a great match, think about how much less energy it takes. There's no friction in that.
Yeah, right? There's no like convincing process. You're not cold calling someone and like kind of trying to like verbally twist their arm into becoming a client or whatever, you know? Yeah.
You know, and kind of shaming them or something like that or... You know,
or those classic emails I get all the time where someone's like, I've done an analysis of your website and I think you could really use.
I love when I get those, right? Don't you get those? I'm like, thank you. I appreciate your input. So the focus on your genius, once I can kind of train our clients into, hey, put in, we work on a ticket system called help requests.
Okay,
put in a help request. If you spent 5 minutes on it, put in a help request, like, you know, stop wasting your time because I'm sure that producing the content, we don't write content. I don't produce content. So that's their job.
Yeah.
Or, you know, figuring out their marketing avatar. That's their job. Our job is to implement it. Once people can get into that flow and realize they're not, I actually had somebody think that they were almost failing because they weren't doing everything. I don't know how to do everything. I'm like, thank goodness. You know, it gives me a job, first of all, but also your brain doesn't need to know how to do everything. Yeah. It needs to know where to look for the resources or something that can do it.
Well, that's awesome. That sounds like, I mean, that sounds like a great kind of, I guess, like main point of the episode, that focus on your genius and make sure that you're looking for the help that you need and getting it. And it sounds like you've done that, you know, you've positioned your business so that you are that for other people. And you've also built your team around that same concept so that other people fill in the gaps for you. And I think a lot of people in the community could probably benefit from that. We're out of time for the interview, but I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This is
so
great.
Much fun.
This is awesome.
Up.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Very much so. And I would like to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you to submit a blog post where you show the community how you implement that screencasting of Divi stuff specifically, but I'm sure you do it with a lot of other stuff with your clients, because I think that's something that a lot of people could work into their businesses is how to incorporate screencast to give your clients more value. There's this title.
Gives them more value, it increases efficiency, and great thing is you can build a library of them and you can also start reusing, you know, some of the episodes, so it increases, you know, your time.
That's what I'm talking about. Sounds like a fantastic idea. So all right, so
we'll do it, Nathan, I promise.
Awesome. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Well, I will follow up with you about that. Again, thanks for coming to the show, and I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Nathan. Bye.
Well, that's all for this episode of Divi Nation. Thanks for tuning in. I just want to give another big thank you to our guest, Jill Sessa, for coming on the show. If you have any questions about what we discussed in today's episode, please feel free to leave them in the comments section on the Elegant Themes blog. We'll be sure to respond. Thanks again for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you all around the community. As always, I'll be back here next week with another episode of Divination.